Praise the Lord. A reading from the book of Zechariah, chapter 7, verses 1 to 14. In the fourth year of King Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the fourth day of the ninth month, which is Kislev. Now the people of Bethel had sent Sharezer and Regem-Melech and their men to entreat the favor of the Lord and to ask the priests of the house of the Lord of hosts and the prophets, should I mourn and practice abstinence in the fifth month, as I have done for so many years? Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, say to the people of the land and the priests, when you fasted and lamented in the fifth month and in the seventh, for the 70 years, was it for me that you fasted? And when you eat and when you drink, do you not eat and drink only for yourselves? Were not these the words that the Lord proclaimed by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity, along with the towns around it, and when the Negev and the Shephelah were inhabited? The word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the orphan, the alien, or the poor. And do not devise evil in your hearts against one another. But they refused to listen and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears in order not to hear. They made their hearts adamant in order not to hear the law and the words that the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore, great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Just as when I called, they would not hear, so when they called, I would not hear, says the Lord of hosts. And I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations that they had not known. Thus the land they left was desolate, so that no one went to and fro, and a pleasant land was made desolate. This is the word of the Lord. Dear friends, contemplating, studying the mystery of the cross in the context of Lent, we had been studying what God was telling to the people through the prophets about fasting. We saw also the prophetic critique against a religiosity bereft of love and justice. Religion became only practice and external activities. And people were boasting on these activities of religiosity that they were a people of God, specially chosen, beloved. Now the prophets did not limit their teaching with criticisms. They also asked people what to do, not only show what should not be done, but taught them also what to do. And one of these prophets we have read is Zechariah. And Zechariah is a post-exilic prophet, a prophet who came in a context of severe famine and drought as the traitor Isaiah. The former prophets had called for justice, but during the exile and after the exile, there came religious practices. And one of the important practices was fasting. And there were five special fasts practiced by the post-exilic community. And Zechariah speaks of this fasting in chapter 8, verse 19. Four fasting he mentions here. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the first of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth shall be seasons of joy and gladness, and cheerful festivals for the house of Judah. Therefore, love, truth, and peace. Here the prophet is explicitly mentioning four fasts. The first is the fast of the fourth month. That is the ninth day of the fourth month, a fast that commemorates the fall of Jerusalem, reported in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 25, verses 3 to 21, that gives a detailed account of the fall of Jerusalem, the greatest disaster the people ever experienced in their lives. The city was sacked and destroyed. The fall of Jerusalem. That was the ninth day of the fourth month. And this was commemorated through a day of fasting and lament. The second fast mentioned is that of the fifth month. That is the fast on the tenth day of the fifth month. And this second fasting day remembered or commemorated the destruction of the temple of Jerusalem by the soldiers of Nebuchadnezzar. The city was destroyed, the temple was burned down on the 10th day of the 5th month. And this is reported in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 52, verses 12 and 13. So a second fasting day, remembering the disaster that befell the people, the house of God was burned down. Then we have a third fasting on the 7th month. So that is the second day of the 7th month. And this commemorates, it is called the fast of Gedaliah. Gedaliah was the governor appointed by the Babylonians to govern the people who remained after the exportation. So after the destruction and deportation of the people, many were left in the country and they were left under the guidance of a governor called Gedaliah. But some of the rebels murdered this governor and fled to Egypt, taking Jeremiah the prophet with them. So this murder of Gedaliah brought in the wrath of the Babylonians. And the death of Gedaliah was mourned and remembered through a yearly fast. So the third fast, second day of the seventh month, commemorating the murder of Gedaliah, reported in the second book of Kings, chapter 25, verses 23 to 25. Then we have the fourth fasting mentioned by Zechariah. That is the 10th day of the 10th month, the fourth fast. And this commemorates the day the siege or attack on Jerusalem began by the Babylonian soldiers of Nebuchadnezzar. These are the four fasts. And these fasting days were days of lament at the beginning. But gradually, they became days of joy. Joy because in spite of all these destructions and deportation, God showed favor to the people. And so the prophet tells, these should be feasts of love and truth, love of truth and peace. So four celebrations of fasting. And then we have another fasting, the most important and the greatest, maybe the only day of true fasting, that is the Day of Atonement, celebrated by the entire nation. And this is reported in the 16th chapter of the book of Leviticus. This is one of the greatest feasts of the people of Israel, on which day the entire nation gathered to do penance for their sins. It is the day on which the high priest is supposed to celebrate the sacrifice. He offered a sacrifice for his own sins. He offered sacrifices for the purification of the priests, for the temple, and also for the entire nation. And the whole day was a day of fasting. And on that day, two particular lambs were offered. One is called the scapegoat, on which the high priest laid all the sins of the nation of the whole year. The high priest laid the hands on the head of the lamb, confessed all the sins of the people, the nation, and then this lamb was led out into the desert to be thrown down the cliff and to be the food for Azazel, the demon who was kept imprisoned in the desert, fed only once a year by a lamb. That is the Lamb of God, the Lamb who takes away the sin the scapegoat. And there is another lamb that was sacrificed in Holocaust on the day. So these were some of the celebrations. Maybe we'll have time to come back on this sometime later. So the Day of Atonement is the greatest day of fasting. So these were all external activities. But now what does God want? What is he asking the people to do on this fasting day so that the day becomes meaningful, sensible, acceptable to God? Now it has come to Zechariah. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 7, God is asking something. After saying, on the days of fasting, you are looking for your own self, but then what is the fasting he wants? Chapter 7, verses 8 to 10. The word of the Lord came to Zechariah saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgment. That is the first thing. Render true judgment. Mishpat is the Hebrew word. Mishpat is a judgment. A judgment that gives justice to the people. People are to be judged by the law. The law of the Lord. Before the arrival of monarchy, the people had only the law of the Lord, the covenantal laws. Then with the coming of the monarchy, there were also other laws, royal laws. And justice is to be given through the obedience and observance of the law. The law protected the interests, life of every individual. God had given the provisions so that every individual, irrespective of his age or color, what will be protected, will be given what is necessary. But it happens now and again that some become weak, orphans or widows, aliens, poor, and these weak people are being exploited and oppressed by the stronger ones. And how are these people to get redress? How are they going to get justice? And there is the system of judgment, the law court. Initially, this was at the city gates. So, judging at the city gate. City gate is a kind of synonym for law court. Later on, courts became instituted in every town and village, and there were the judges who were to pronounce judgment. The people who had been offended, people who had been wronged, can approach the court and ask for justice. And what is being asked here is being given mishpat. The judge should give a right judgment, redressing the wrong, correcting the wrong, and giving justice to those who have been wronged. And this did not very often happen. That is why the prophets were coming again and again asking for justice. For example, the book of Amos, after the severe critique of a spiritless, heartless religiosity, God is asking through the prophet one thing. In chapter 5, verse 24, but let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Like justice, fall down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And here, the word justice is the translation of mishpat. Let right judgment prevail. Let those who have been wronged be given their right. And this leads to justice. Justice is siddaka, a life according to the law of the Lord. So this justice being executed, given through the law courts, is the first condition for a life pleasing to God. So through Zechariah, God is telling, render true judgments. Then show kindness. That is the second word, kindness. And the kindness translates the Hebrew word chesed. I had already mentioned in one talk. Chesed. Chesed is a steadfast love. Chesed is a quality of God, an attribute, so to say. And it expresses God's unfailing, everlasting love. He has guaranteed it through a covenant. I will never abandon you. I'll never forget you. I'll never forsake you. My life, my love is everlasting, never changing. So this is a love that is called kindness. And people have to practice this unchanging love. Even when you hate me, I love you. I'll never abandon you. A love that comes out of heart, out of the heart. It's not an external practice alone. A change of heart is needed for this kindness. And the third word is mercy. Mercy translates the Hebrew word rahama. Rahama is a word that comes from the root rechem. Rechem means the womb, the maternal body in which the child is born. So the rahama is a quality of the mother, or the feeling the mother has towards the unborn child. The child is who is growing in her body, drawing substance from her own self. So a mother cannot hate or cannot forget the child in her womb. So this mercy that God speaks about is rahama, and this is also a quality of God. In Arabic, God is called Rahman, the one who is merciful. That is a quality that is being revealed through the Bible, all through. God is merciful to all the creatures. God's mercy does not make any exclusion. Everybody gets the mercy of God. And so, through the prophet, God is asking, in order to make your fasting meaningful and sensible and fruitful, you should practice right judgment, kindness, and mercy to one another, to everybody. Not only that, this is the positive part. Then there is a negative part to it. Do not oppress the weak. Here, people are mentioned: widow, orphan, alien, poor. Four categories of people are mentioned here, to whom people should give special consideration. Do not oppress. And they become the special subjects of oppression. Widows, women whose husbands are gone dead, who have nobody to protect them and defend them. Even today, very often in many countries, widows become the targets of oppression, exploitation. So defend the widow, the orphan whose father and mother are gone, or a child born out of wedlock, a child who has no parents to depend upon, who would defend him. So the widow, the orphan. Then you have the alien, a person who has no land of his own. Maybe people who have gone out of the land for searching for work. Maybe people who had been deported, exiled, banished, or made captives, enslaved, whatever. Persons who have no passport, persons who have no nations to belong to, and nobody to defend and protect, aliens. And finally, the poor who have no subsistence, nothing to eat, no land, no way to lay his head. So these four categories all come to the same thing: people who are defenseless, people who are weak, marginalized. So you stand for them. So that is the fasting God is asking for. And that is should be the meaning of Lent, act of justice. Through Amos, God said, "Let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." Another prophet, Isaiah 58, 6 and 7. "Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of yoke." So loose the bonds of injustice, undo the thongs of yoke is the same thing. And what is this yoke? So we have seen the post-exilic period, many people were enslaved for various reasons, for unpaid debts or the impossibility of paying taxes on economical and social grounds. People have had their property confiscated, their liberty restricted, people who had been enslaved, and some had been imprisoned. So now the prophet is telling all the bonds, all the yokes have to be broken. "Let the oppressed go free and break every yoke. So that is one thing. This is a kind of taking out all the debts. A general amnesty is to be proclaimed. Release of debts. This is something like the Jubilee year. In the Bible, there is a provision that every 50th year should be celebrated as a Jubilee year. The word comes from Yobel, as a trumpet, as a horn. Blow the horn all over the country and proclaim the year of release. So the year that starts with the blowing of the horn is called the Jubilee year. And what is to be done in the Jubilee year? Release all the captives, free all the slaves, write off all the debts, a total freedom. So that is the general release that God wants. In every 50 year, the socio-economic situation has to be leveled. All should become equal. Even if one becomes rich by dexterity, hard work, sparing, whatever, and another becomes poor, maybe due to oppression, exploitation, or misuse of funds, etc. Whatever be the reason, after 50 years, there should be a kind of socio-economic leveling. And that is the reason why Jubilee year was instituted. And now through the prophet, God is telling the fasting should lead to a general release of debts. And then what? Is not share the bread with the hungry? If you have bread, share it with them. And bring the homeless poor into your house. Give home to the homeless. When you see the naked, to cover them. So this is acts of charity, defending the poor, sharing with the weak and oppressed. And not to hide yourself from your own kin, your own family. There's a tendency to ignore the people who are relatives and friends and maybe one's own family if they are poor and if I am rich, with the fear that I may have to share something of my own with them. God is telling, and if you're fasting in this context, the fast doesn't make any sense. So the real fasting should lead to a change in the heart, leading to a change in the society. Book of Micah, another prophet, of pre-exilic prophet, in chapter 6, verse 8, we have this. The prophet is asking, how should I please God? The people were asking, and what is the pleasing offering to God? In chapter 6, verse 8, we have this. He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humble with your God. Justice, mercy, humility. This is what God wants. So fast should be an exercise in this justice, humility, and mercy, compassion. This is what the New Testament also tells us. Fasting should not become a show. It's not to show somebody else that you are fasting. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 16 to 18, in the context of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells this. Whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Fasting should be an act of religion, a pleasant act, an act that leads to joy and happiness. John the Baptist, preparing the people for the coming Messiah, had told already this. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verses 10 to 14, we know what God wants in the time of fasting. It's the Lent season, and this is what God is telling through the prophet John the Baptist. When the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, Teacher, what should we do? He said to them, Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. Soldiers also asked, And we, what should we do? He said to them, Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages. All this is striking at the root of all the evil, that is greed. Prophets of the Old Testament, Jesus, the Son of God, the fulfillment of all prophecies, John the Baptist, the forerunner, and the apostles, all strike at the root of evil, that is greed in the heart. So they are pointing to the heart. The heart should be changed. And the heart that is not filled with greed, the heart that goes out in compassion to the other, that should be the sign of fasting, true conversion. In the first letter to Timothy, Paul writes in chapter 6, verses 6 to 10. Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into the temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. So this is what Paul is telling us. Greed is the root of all evils. And another apostle, James, speaking about true religion, has this to tell us. The letter of James, chapter 1, verse 27. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for the orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. To care for the widow and orphans. So a true change of heart that should bring in a change of society, a just society, based on compassion, love, and justice. So that is the time of Lent. And that is what we are observing. And only through this we can come any close to the mystery of the cross. Now let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we hear your call to fasting, to upavasa, to stay near you, to receive your grace, forgiveness, and love. Enable us to turn to you with all our hearts and to turn to our neighbors with a compassionate and loving, kind heart. You showed us the way through the prophets, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Enable us to follow this way in doing justice, loving tenderly, and walking humbly before you. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.